right, so good morning. Before we start, I do want to thank all the people that have supported us. Yesterday we had a fundraising dinner for YWAM and for Taiwan, and a lot of people came out, a lot of people bought raffle tickets, and we got to share testimonies and stories, and we learned how you can be born in America and be absolutely amazing in Chinese. We had a testimony from one of our 10th graders, and I was like, wow, she's really good. And so I just want to thank you, all of you, like either praying for us or even attending or whatever it is that you're doing. We the team, YWAM and Taiwan, we definitely felt that we are supported by the church and that we were loved by the church and we were commissioned by the church. And it was really awesome. So I want to thank you for being part of that. It was really cool. So last week, if you haven't noticed, a whole bunch of us were not here because we went on our annual trip, our annual youth retreat called Bigfoot. So a lot of the young adults were there being our counselors. A lot of the students were gone because we were out having fun and hearing a whole bunch of great messages and stuff. So I encourage you, if you have never been, if you're a young adult, talk to me, so maybe next year you can be a counselor, because we can always use more counselors. But so it's really awesome. But what a lot of us might have missed last week, I kind of want to recap. And so last week, Josh talked about Jesus' authority and his authority in our lives. And quick recap, Jesus goes through this parable, which is about this garden, and this owner of the garden, he leaves it entrusted to, you know, these servants. And then he sends a servant to kind of like, you know, like what's going on. They beat the servant up, and you know, the owner's like, okay. Sends another servant like trying to reclaim this area that is his. You know, then these people that are working the land beat him up again, and he gets cut back. And pretty much in the end, the owner goes, I will send my own son. They'll surely listen to my son. And these people working the land goes, he's sending his son. We killed the son. We get the land, in short. And pretty much this whole parable is talking about the chief priests, the scribes, or the Pharisees at that time. And he pretty much tells a story about them, going, you've been rejecting my prophets, now you're going to reject me, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and you're going to kill me. And the whole point was, where is your authority? Or where is his authority in your lives? Where do you submit to? When in your relationships, in your money, in your time, in your service, at work, at school, wherever it is, do you submit to God's authority in your life? Or are you trying to do things on your own? And a lot of times we will say, God, you're allowed to have this part of my life, but not this part. God, I give you authority to have authority, as weird as it sounds, to have authority in this part of my life, but don't touch this part of my life. And ultimately, when we do something like that, he has no authority because we are telling him where he has a say in and where he doesn't. And the whole point of today, we're going to continue along the same thought, the same message of God's authority, Jesus' authority in our lives. The point is today is that he has authority in our lives because we bear his image. Jesus Christ has authority in our lives because we bear his image. So we're going to get started. We're going to be in Luke. And we're going to be in Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20. And we're going to read, we're going to be from verse 19 to verse 26. Luke 20 verse 19 through 26. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. It says, the scribes and the chief priests tried to lay hands on him that very hour, and they feared the people, for they understood that he spoke this parable against them. Just quick thought, Jesus has been around for a couple years. He's been saying, he's been giving a lot of parables, and finally these guys are like, wait a minute. I think he's talking about me, right? It took him a couple years, like, yes, we've been talking about Jesus the whole time. And so Jesus, so the chief priests and the scribes finally realized that Jesus is talking about them, and they're the one that is in kind of like, they're kind of like the main antagonist in his parables. And he goes, so, what did they do? So they watch him and sent spies who pretended to be righteous in order that they might catch him in some statement so they could deliver him to the rule and authority of the governor. All right, so this is what's going on. So, we have the story. All right, this parable that Jesus tells, the chief priests, the Pharisees, the scribes, what you want to call them, they sit there and go, wait a minute, you're talking about me. You're saying that I'm rejecting God's authority. You're saying I am going to kill his son. And you're saying I'm just this terrible person. How dare you say that about me? How dare you say I reject his authority? How dare you say I'm going to do something like that? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to kill you. Right? It's like, wait a minute. You just kind of proved this point. They're so upset that Jesus said that you are rejecting my authority and you're going to kill me. They respond by saying, I'm so angry, I'm going to reject your authority and kill you. It's like, okay. Right, it's like me going to Josh and like, Josh, you know, like I say it's like Tuesday morning, I knock on Josh's door. Hey, Josh, I want to talk to you, buddy. I know you're my pastor, you're my boss, but you know that you really value honesty. And Josh, sometimes the way you treat me, you're kind of violent. And you really have a short temper, like you're always screaming and yelling at me, Josh. And it hurts me. And like Josh turns to me, he's like, how dare you say that? Bam! It's like, point proven, right? That's exactly. And so, I just find this really odd. Like, so these guys are like pretty much proving Jesus' point. Josh is not like that. He's actually not very violent at all, but just, you know, it's just kind of funny. He's not. I promise you, don't hurt me. But the point is, like, these guys are not getting it. They completely don't get it. And here's the thing that we're going to do this morning. We're looking at ways we reject his authority. How do we reject Jesus' authority? Like the way the scribes and the chief priests does. Instead of realizing that we bear his image, so he has the right and our authority, we're going to walk and see what ways do we reject his authority. And so the first way that we see that his authority is being rejected is by getting attacked. These Pharisees want to attack Jesus. If you look at verse 19, he says, they want to lay hands on him. And they're not like, I want to pray over you type of laying hands. This is like, I want to strangle you and kill you type of laying hands, right? So they are really upset at Jesus. They want him dead. But they're so afraid because the people around them really like Jesus at that time. But they want him dead, and they're trying to find whatever way to attack him. And a lot of times we do that as well in our lives. That when we are confronted with the authority of Jesus, instead of submitting to his authority, we attack his authority. Instead of going, all right, Jesus, this is what I want, this is what you want me to do, I will do it, we start attacking it. Now, granted, we don't try to crucify him like what we see happen later on in the story. But we attack it in different ways. They're more subtle. And one of the biggest ways that we see Jesus' authority being attacked and Jesus being attacked is we just change Jesus. We just change who Jesus is. And this is what I mean. Have you ever heard of people say, I don't know what Jesus you worship, but my Jesus would never do that. And we see in our society today, in our people, even in our own thoughts maybe, we'll see, my Jesus will never allow me to suffer because he's so loving. He's not going to bring suffering in my life. My Jesus, if I follow him, will give me riches beyond all compare. and it'll give me a healthy life. My Jesus is so loving, he accepts everybody exactly the way they are. And then you have on the flip side that says that my Jesus means that you have to do this. You have to come to church in a certain tie with the suit. My Jesus hates certain people so much that our church will start a website called GodHatesBlank.com. And we take Jesus and we bring him and go, my Jesus is this. My Jesus stands for this. My Jesus stands for this. And we stop reading the Bible and what Jesus is truly saying, and we go, I just believe Jesus is who I think he is. I'm going to worship this type of Jesus because I like this Jesus. I don't like that Jesus. I like the Jesus that stands up for what I believe in. My Jesus recycles. And the other one's like, my Jesus just does whatever he wants with the stuff because the world's going to end tomorrow. Right? There's just all these different types of Jesus and going, well, what are you doing with the real Jesus? No one really cares anymore about who Jesus really is, but we make him out to who we want him to be. And a lot of times they go, well, why don't we just read the Bible to see what Jesus has to say? People start going, well, we don't really know if the Bible is really God's Word. I know that this part of the Bible is not God's Word because it doesn't fit into my scheme, my worldview, my identity. And he goes, well, you know, why don't we do this? Why don't we just get a whole bunch of people together, we'll give them rocks, different color rocks, and let's just read the Bible together. And then we'll stop and go, is this part of the Bible? Did Jesus say this or did Jesus not? And then we'll take a vote on it. Who finds this absolutely ridiculous? Let's just vote on this, okay? Let me just read a passage. It says, but the vineyard growers saw him reason with one another, saying, this is his heir, let us kill him, so the inheritance will be ours. Okay, let's take a vote. Who says Jesus said this? Who said Jesus didn't say this? Okay, we might find this, like, this is very odd. There's actually a group called the Jesus Seminar that does this. They actually go through the Bible and they vote. And this is what we do. We strip away his authority when we start rejecting the Scripture, when we start going, our Jesus believes in this, our Jesus believes in this, our Jesus is a Republican, our Jesus is a Democrat. And slowly, he has no more authority because we make Jesus who we want him to be. And when we start changing him, we strip away his authority. We strip away his say in our lives because we make him who we want him to be. We make him about our issues. We make him about what we stand for. We don't care anymore about what Jesus is saying, but what we want him to say. Everyone has their own agenda. And are you willing to lay down your agenda for his authority? But a lot of times we place our agenda above his authority. We attack his authority so we can continue to push forward our agenda. But a lot of times, we might not be like that. When I say, that's kind of extreme, Dennis. You know, I'm not going to attack his authority. Like, I'm not going to say that the Bible is not God's Word. I'm not going to be voting on, you know, whether Jesus said this or Jesus said that. You know, I'm not placing my agenda on political values, or I'm not like saying that Jesus has to be this or that. I'm trying to follow Jesus. But a lot of times, what we do, instead of submitting to his authority, instead of rejecting his authority, we just simply fake it. Let's keep on reading. Verse 21. And so these are the people that the scribes and the chief priests send out to try to catch Jesus saying something that he shouldn't be saying. And this is what they say. It goes, they question him saying, verse 21, teacher, we know that you speak and teach correctly, and you are not partial to any, but you teach the way of God in truth. And when you read that at face value, you're going, wow, these people seem to really like Jesus. Right? They're like, wow, they really acknowledge Jesus for who he is. But honestly, what they're trying to do, they're trying to do is they're trying to soften Jesus up. They're trying to like suck up to him and kind of get him to like, oh yeah, that is me. And then like have him slip. Because we see the next question they ask. And so what they're doing, they're faking it. They're faking submitting to his authority. They're saying all these things just to give an appearance that they are religious. Give them appearance that they truly believe that Jesus is what he says he is. They really don't. A lot of times, we might fake it. And there's this religious game that people keep on playing. And this game is just trying to fake our way through Christianity. Instead of submitting to his authority, we fake our way through. And this is what I mean. It's when God calls us to take a step towards the left, and we don't want to take that step towards the left. We go, God, I'm not walking that way, but I will show you how fast I could run going right. I'm not going to take this step to the left that you called me, but let me show you how fast I can run to the right. It's going, God, I don't want to give my tithes and offerings to you, knowing that you have given this to me as the first fruits. I don't want to give my tithes and offerings, but let me show you, God, how much I can serve at church. Or maybe the reverse. God, I don't really want to give up my time. I don't want to serve. I don't want to do that. But let me, I'll double how much I give. Let me show you how much I can give. So in taking that step to the left that he calls us, we show him how fast we can run to the right. And let me tell you, if you take the step, if you take steps toward the right direction, you'll get faster instead of running the opposite. And a lot of times we fake it like that. We fake it because we are doing stuff at church. We're doing stuff that involves Christianity. We're doing stuff that gives an appearance that we look religious, that we look pious, that we look like we're Christians. And we go, instead of you asking me to do this, God, let me show you how well I can do that. And there's so many things in our own lives that we do. And I don't know. And it's different for each person. I'm not saying that everyone needs to do this or that. But God has placed a calling in every single heart of a believer. And the question is, are you going to submit to that authority and do that, or are you going to run? And what happens is, when you start running, eventually, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 5 months, whenever that day is, 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, you're going to find yourself empty, bitter, upset, jaded, because you realize that you don't feel God, or that, like, why is God not there anymore? Because the whole time you doing whatever you're doing, whatever ministry you're doing, whatever way you try to be religious, you're doing it on your own authority. You're doing it under your own power, not on His. And I'm telling you, that is not the way to live. I've been confronted so many times with trying to take the easy way out, trying to show God how fast I can run to the right instead of taking a step to the left. One of the last times I can really remember this happening was when I was about to graduate seminary. I was interning at a church in the Dallas area when I was going to seminary. I was helping out with their youth group. And they came forth and they offered me a position after I graduated. And so at first I was like, well, that's easy because I know the youth, I know the area, and I don't have to move. This is so simple for me. So I prayed about it. I didn't really feel like God saying, this is where I want you to be. But I go, this is easy. You're going, my God, this doesn't make any sense. You want me to turn down a job that I have, but I have absolutely no backup plan, God. I haven't even submitted any resumes. I haven't talked to any churches. I'm about to graduate in like 9 months. I don't know where I'm going. You want me to say no? And this is like December. Right? And he goes, you want me to say no to nothing? I got nothing, God. It's not like I have a backup plan. And so I told the pastor, I go, Pastor, yeah, I'll take it. No problem. And I go, God, I'm not going to do this because I'm still doing your work. God, I'm still doing your work. I'm still serving in ministry, God. And I love these kids. They're great. And I know the pastor and everybody. Hey, it's going to be awesome. And I'm going to stay in Texas. And that's just, you know, everybody knows, if they want to say, Texas is the best place in the world. It's just a fact of life. Right? So I'm like, this is awesome. Why would I want to go anywhere else? Granted, it was in Dallas, which is the worst place to be in Texas, but I'd rather take the worst place than the best. Anyhow, right? And I remember taking that and not feeling settled in my heart. I couldn't fall asleep. I remember on my break, I couldn't do it. I didn't want to disappoint people. I didn't want to reject people, and I wanted the easy way out. But, as you know the end of the story, I'm standing here. I finally go, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to turn down that job. I have no idea where I'm going. But I'm going to trust you. And here I am standing today. Knowing that this is where God has placed me. And the peace that I received, knowing that this is where God wants me, I wouldn't trade it for the world. When we follow God's authority, instead of faking it, the reward is so much greater. Because you're not trying to use your own power or your own strength. You're relying on Him. And when He follows through and He answers prayers, the burdens are lifted, not burdens being poured on. But when you fake it, thinking that that's the easier way out, I'm telling you, it is not. Because you will end up one day empty, broken, bitter. Because that's not where God wanted you. That's not what God wanted you to do. Last, what we do, instead of faking it, instead of attacking it, a lot of times we just change the subject. Verse 22. And they ask him, is it lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And that's the question that they want to ask. This is a golden question to break Jesus. Because back then, there was this poll tax that they had to give. And it was a heavy, heavy tax. We're talking about maybe, you know, some theologians, some people are saying it's about 70, it could be up to 70 to 80% of their annual income. That's a lot of money. And you think California is bad, right? If they took 70, 80% and they're making sure everyone stays in poverty and you're giving it to the government. Of course, no one's going to like this tax. Especially the Jews. And they don't want to be paying tribute to Rome. Because they believe that they should only give tribute to God. And they're saying, so they ask Jesus this question, and to pretty much trap him. All right, Jesus, Caesar or not, right? Should we give it to Caesar or should we not? And there's a whole bunch of people there, very political. Like, a lot of his followers are very political. He says, nope, don't give it, don't, it's not lawful to pay taxes. All, you know, you got all the people like in uprising, like, yeah! And they're like ready to storm Rome, right? And these are political. They're wanting their freedom. But if he says that, Rome is going to come and get them. And that's kind of what the Pharisees want. They're going, all right, he says don't pay taxes, Rome will come and kill him. Done. No, we didn't do anything. But if Jesus says, no, it is lawful, if it is lawful to pay these taxes, he's going to lose supporters. He's going to lose supporters. Nobody's going to like him. Nobody's going to want to be with him. And then now these chiefs and these scribes are like, all right, now we have our opportunity to get rid of this guy. And the question ultimately is, hey, what is justice? Because it doesn't seem like it's very just. It doesn't seem like it is just for us to have to pay this. So when we are confronted with God's authority, the question is, do you change the subject? Do we start saying, hey, God, well, why does evil exist, God? Your authority, why does evil exist? God, if you are so amazing and if you are who you say you are, why are all your believers so hypocritical? Like, look at them. Why would I want to be one of them, God? Or, you know, God, why do you let me suffer? And when we're placed with, and Jesus comes and goes, I want you to submit your authority to me. Are we changing the subject? Now, I'm not saying don't ask these questions, right? I think it's good for us to understand, why does God allow suffering? Or why are we suffering? I think it's good for us to talk about, hey, as Christians, how should we really live? How do we reflect Christ better? But that is not their motivation. And like with Jesus, like we always learn, it's not about the questions, it's not about the actions, it's about the heart. Why are you asking these questions? Are you asking these questions? Are you changing the subject to deter or to just trying to like turn away from his authority? Just to, they're like, I don't want to talk about your authority, let's talk about this. Or are you really wanting to know why, you really want to know these answers so you can better submit yourself to his authority? But a lot of times what people do is they ask these questions and they bring up topics that have nothing to do with his authority simply to get things off track. It's what we call a red herring. A red herring is when you're arguing with somebody, they change the subject to get you to start arguing about something else that has absolutely nothing to do with the subject at hand. Right? Let's say if I go, my argument is that Texas is the best place to live in the world. And then you tell me, well, Texas barbecue sucks. And you want to talk about Texas barbecue. It's like, well, this has nothing, though it might seem like it has to do with the original conversation, it really doesn't. And it's actually a deviant from what is at hand. And so what they're doing is, here's Christ's authority. Christ goes, my authority is something you need to submit to. Here's my authority. They go, Well, what about justice? Let's talk about justice instead of your authority. Well, let's talk about evolution instead of your authority. Let's talk about this instead of your authority. And this is the game that a lot of us love to play, especially when confronted with Christ's authority in our lives. God says, I want you to do this. Well, what about the employees at my workplace? They need me there. You know, maybe God's calling you to do something else. Maybe God calls you to full-time missions. What about my family? Or, what about the church? The church really needs me. And we change the subject. We change the subject on him. Instead of talking about his authority, we want to talk about something else. Let's look at what Jesus replied. And let's look at how he replies to all of this. And Jesus says, right, he goes, but he detected their trickery and said to them, show me a denarius. Whose likeness and inscription does it have? They said, Caesar's. And he said to them, then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they were unable to catch him, and saying in the presence of the people, and being amazed at his answer, they became silent. And here is Jesus' response to all of us. You submit to my authority because you have my image. You submit to my authority and these excuses toss out the window because you bear my image. When you read that, the people at that time, the Jewish people, knew what he was talking about. And he was talking about the beginning in Genesis when it says that God made man and woman in his image. When he made male and female in his image. that we are all bearers of the image of God. This doesn't mean that we physically look like God, but it means that we bear a mark in our lives, that we are able to have relationship with God. One of the ways, image of God, we're able to have relationship with God. Animals do not have image of God. They can't have relationship with God. We are able to have relationship with God. We bear a mark spiritually. It's like saying, for example, one of my favorite brands, Nike. I love Nike. You put that Nike swoosh on, they put it on their shoes, on their clothes, on all their apparel. And that stuff, the shirt, the pants, the shoes, they bear their mark, the Nike brand. And that mark is more than just a swoosh. That mark bears a certain type of culture, right? A sports culture. It bears a certain type of quality. It bears a certain type of person or what you want to project yourself as. It's more than just this little check mark. It shows so much more. God has branded His image or His brand into us. It's not a physical one. But we show and exude a certain type of branding of God. And this image of God was marred or broken at the fall. When sin, when evil, when brokenness entered the world, the image was broken, but it's still there. The image was marred, but it's still there. But this is why Jesus came to this world. This is why we're reading the book of Luke. And this is why we're here today. It's because He came to free us. He came to restore our image. The image of God. He came to restore it. And this whole idea of Him coming to earth, not just teaching, but dying and paying the penalty of our sin, of our evil, of our brokenness, He came to restore that. And we have that image, and that image can be restored so we can be in relationship with Him once again. That image of God can allow us to be in relationship with Him one more time. And that's the point. And that's the point of it all. That He came to restore our image. And that image reminds us that it's His authority, not ours. He is the Creator, we are the created. He gives us the image. We submit to His authority. So the question I ask you today is the same question that we talked about last week. Where does your authority lie? Where does your authority lie? Because you don't have a choice, because you bear His image. You bear His mark. You are His. So are you ready to submit to that? Knowing that He is good, knowing that what He leads you is for good and not for evil, knowing that He wants your life to be lived the best way possible to further His kingdom, His glory, knowing that you find ultimate joy in submitting to His authority, or are we going to continue to run, attack, or just change the subject altogether? I look at all of y'all, and I see that we are all created in His image, all longing to have that image restored and be in relationship with Him once again. But we cannot be in relationship with Him until we submit to His authority. Let's pray.